Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's an absolutely gorgeous day out here in New York City, but I'm inside doing the show. It's okay. I'll get out there after I finish. It is middle of the afternoon. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon right now. Yes. And today, my show is going to be all about alpacas. Yes, I didn't realize how cute they really were until not only did I go to an alpaca farm, but went to, stayed over at a bed and breakfast where the owners own three of their own pet alpacas. So, but before I get into that, well, you know, it's sponsor time, and you know that's which now is going to of course make me quite hungry. But what can you
what
do?
Would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, and you can get these absolutely wonderfully delicious brownies at www.brownies.com. Okay, but now, instead of talking about food, we're going to talk about animals. Oh, I just love cute little animals. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Merle.
Well, I know we talked about this before, but I want to now talk about my experience of being at your place.
Okay.
Airy View Bed and Breakfast in the town of Columbia, which is part of Lancaster County in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's the doggie's name? I forgot.
Max.
Max. Oh, how could I forget? Okay. Yes. Max is so cute. I know you keep saying, oh, you know, he's used to getting food or whatever. It's okay. He was not a pain in the neck. It's always,
good. That
is what happens when you go to a B&B and they, you know, when they have the dog and they give you instructions about the dog. And I never find that the dogs, as long as no one's got a pit bull, I'm fine, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What's the class of dog you have?
Max is a Bichon.
Which is now, of course, for those who are going, a what? What does it kind of sort of look like? What would you call it?
Well, he's
kind of a
white
Scotty kind of thing? No, not a Scotty.
Yeah,
no.
not really a Scotty. He's kind of he's his own look, but his hair is wavy and usually his head is cut kind of fuller around his face. Yeah.
And he has, and I see the initial C-U-T-E.
Oh. Yes, he's very cute. We think we're very partial to him. He's a great dog.
And actually, that's the only pet you have that's inside the house.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let me explain. I love animals, most of them, and I couldn't have been happier. You have a pond. Oh, and you have a pond with a swan and two ducks.
Yes.
One is real. One is not real.
Exactly, yes. There's a decoy on the pond.
Now,
yeah.
Does the swan play with the... Will the swan play with both ducks, correct?
He does, but the decoy he really plays with. The mallard, they just show their company, it seems like. But the decoy, he'll go over to it and bop it around and make it go underwater and bring it back up and move it around a little bit. That just seems to be his pet, his fun toy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess because he knows he could do it.
Right,
and it
right.
And it's not going to come back to him and do something to him.
Sure, yeah.
Well, maybe he thinks that if he puts it underwater, it'll revive it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe he's trying to wake him up.
Yeah. And that is some gorgeous swan who apparently loves you, but not your other half.
Exactly. Yes, he seems to be fine with me. He does not like my husband, Fran, at all. He actually comes out after him. Yes.
Oh, my God. You know, it's as if he's possessive of you. Well, I noticed that, like, you went over to feed it and your husband came over, and then it was like the look on his on the swan's face was kind of like, excuse me, I thought you were going to divorce the guy. What's
Aww.
With this? I want you all for myself, and that's it.
I don't know, but he certainly lets us know what he thinks. He sure does.
You named the swan. What's the swan's name?
Joey.
Joey. That's right, because
yes.
You name everybody. We all name it. No matter. By the way, did you name the decoy?
No, I haven't named the decoy.
Oh, we have to do that. We have to have
okay.
a name. For the even though it's not alive, this way we could refer to it as something. We'll have to come up with something that. With
all
that.
Right.
Then you got a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
What type of turtle is it?
He's just a water turtle. I'm not exactly sure beyond that.
Oh, okay.
But he lives in the pond and comes out to sun himself usually every day. And that or else he'll climb up on our fountain in the middle of the pond before it comes on in the morning, and he'll sun himself on the fountain.
Oh, how sweet. And then there's the deer.
Oh, yes, the deer.
The deer.
He's actually a target for bow hunting, but he's confused many people because they think that it's an actual deer standing on the other side of the pond.
I call it the deer that just keeps staring at the headlights.
Yeah.
And won't move. Not an inch.
Not an inch. Nope.
That's how I think of that deer. By the way, will Joey allow other people to, like, pet him, feed him, pet him kind of thing?
Well,
just
you know, nobody has actually tried. I'm not sure. We'll have to see if someone's brave enough to try.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's, of course, I'm curious. He'll be curious to see whether he's just so possessive of you as opposed to, and you know, like, because you're a female versus... that you're a female.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's okay. Now we'll get to some other animals. This is not all McDonald, but you got a farm.
We do. We have a farmette. Yep.
Yeah. And what better way to get fresh eggs than to have your own hens?
Exactly. Yes.
And I understand one of your hens turned out to be a rooster.
Yep, I went for all hens. I said, I do not want any roosters. I had a bad experience with a rooster when I was a kid. I actually grew up on a farm, and we had a rooster that would chase me, and it wasn't fun. So I said, I want just hens. And here, sure enough, one morning I heard this big, loud cock-a-doodle-doo and went out. And the more this bird grew, we found out we indeed had a rooster. So Blackie is the rooster's name, and he's allowed to stay as long as he's nice. And so far, he's not
he's been
too
nice.
Bad. So he's still with us.
Okay, so
time
Blackie
will tell with him.
So the rooster's got a name.
Mm-hmm.
Did you name all of the hens?
Not all of them, but some of them. I'm not real creative with names, so kind of what they look like is what they get named. I have Splashy because his feathers are black and white and gray, all different kind of color combinations, so he's Splashy. And I have Little Miss Gray because she's a small hen. She actually lays a blue egg for me, and she's a little smaller, and like I said, she's mostly gray. I have Ida Red and Big Red. They're obviously two red chickens, and so that's who they are. And then my other ones are just, hey, you, or come here, baby, whatever.
Listen, I name my mama chickens, so you can.
Okay, there you go.
So you could, yeah. So if I were to name my rubber chickens, you could certainly name your decoy duck.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Okay, we'll come up with it. When I write about you, when I write about the place, I'll come up with a name.
Okay,
you'll
have to give him a name and let
yeah.
me know.
Okay. Then you have, which is the, let me ask you about the chickens, just so I, how often do they lay eggs, by the way?
Well, I have been getting between, occasionally I will get 7 eggs a day, which that's everybody laying. And then generally, I would say it's every other day that I get 7 eggs. The off day, then it might be like 4 or 5 eggs. So typically, there's a couple of them that lay every day, and then there's a couple of them that take a break, and it's every other day.
And having a bed and breakfast, of course, people get to have fresh eggs. But do you wind up also having like enough eggs that you got to like, I don't know, sell them or something? Will people
Oh, occasionally
combine?
I'll share them. Yeah, my neighbors. I share with my neighbors and my kids occasionally. But it is fun to have the fresh eggs. And then I try and use recipes that I like to make fresh omelets, or I have a couple good egg casseroles that, you know, I can use them that way too. So I do use a lot of eggs.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good. What do you
yeah.
feed them? What do you feed the hen? Everybody's concerned about what you feed. Oh, by the way, and are they considered cage free? I mean, but they can't walk around outside.
No, we did have them walking around outside until we started mulching this spring. Now, since we started mulching, now they're kind of relegated to their area, which they have a little bit of room to move around, but I guess they're not actually considered free range right at the moment. We're working
right.
at that. We may end up being able to take them out the back and let them be able to dig around and be, you know, in the ground and the grass a little bit more, but they really love to scratch around and dig, so they get into my mulch beds and just destroy them if they have
oh.
a chance. That's where they like to go.
But they're not really, like, they have, like, if you want to call it, like, two houses.
Yeah, they have we have a little run for them, and in underneath of their coop, there's an area that's the coop is built up, so there's an area under their coop as well. So they do get to scratch around, and they're not just stuck in a little pen or
in a
crate.
Cubby hole. Yeah,
right.
And in terms of feed, do you, people are now concerned of what people feed. What do they get fed?
I'm curious. I do have a natural grain pellet that comes from Tractor Supply. That's just a farm store. And then I feed them crushed up corn and other grains that's all mixed together. That's all natural. And then, I'll give them some grass. I actually have bought some wheat grass from market to give to them for a treat every now and then. There's a gal at Central Market in Lancaster, and she grows wheat grass, so I purchase some of that occasionally. And like I said, they just love that. That's a good treat for them. And so everything they have is pretty pure and organic.
That's good. But you would never use them to have so somebody can have chicken.
I don't think so. No, I don't think. I may give them away if somebody wants them for chicken, but I can't eat my chickens who have names.
I can understand that. And then we have the three alpacas who weren't really friendly for that time.
They're getting better, Merle. They're actually getting better. They're coming around. But they had just had their hair cut about a week and a half before, and that really made them a little nervous again. I wasn't sure, you know, that was going to happen. But when they came back from their being sheared, they were just a little bit shy. And Bryce is now just starting to eat out of my hand a little bit again.
Oh, okay. And Bryce, the colors, there's a white, a brown, and if you want to call it beige, a light brown.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So the white one is name?
The white one is Wilson.
Yeah, right.
The dark brown one is Freddie.
And the brown, and the light brown?
The light brown is Bryce.
Is Bryce. Okay.
Yeah.
Of the three, are any of them like more friendly than the others?
Freddie's the friendliest, especially if you have anything to eat for him. He'll come right over and he'll eat right out of your hand very quickly, and he sticks around, you know, real close to you. And then, like I said, Bryce and Wilson, they'll come over and eat out of your hand if you have treats or food. They're keeping their distance just a little bit. They don't come right over right away. You have to coax them a good bit.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm curious, in terms of like having all these animals and naming them, do you come up with all the names, who contributes to the names?
Yeah, we've came up with most of them. Now, the alpacas, we actually purchased them from Eastland Alpaca and Farm, and they were already named. So they had their names when they came to us, except Wilson. Wilson, his name was Ebb, and my kids didn't like that. They thought he looked more like a Wilson. So we did change his name, but the other two already, they were named, and we just kept Freddie and Bryce for their names. And then the other animals, we've just kind of come up with names for them.
Do you ever name them after anybody? Like saying, oh, this one looks just like my cousin.
Oh, no, I don't think we have done that.
Okay, I'll come up. We'll do that for the decoy duck and the deer.
Okay.
I'll think about who I've come across that look a little like them or something.
Oh.
Now let's get to, now that I've, it, you know, it's quite different, like having you talk about this and then my being there and experiencing
right.
the place.
Right.
But just to to rehash about how you got the and by the way, across the street, was that the house you had lived in before?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. The house you have now is gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
And oh, yeah, wait a minute. Then there's a, I guess this little, like, waterfall thing you got, too, that I saw.
Yeah, we have a small koi pond. We have a large pond that's out back with the fountain in, but then, yeah, we have a small koi pond that has a waterfall coming down into it.
That's so cool. Was that something that you added to the property, or was
that? We did, yes. Yes, we had a koi pond at our other, actually, the last two places that we had lived, we've had goldfish and koi, and they're just very relaxing, and the sound of the water, we love that, and so we decided to put in a small one over here as well.
Yeah, because I saw in the back where, I guess that's part of your separate, like, well, attached home, if you want to call it, that I saw the pond. I also saw the two seats there, the sort of, now I don't know what you could, swing seats or?
Yes, we do have it's a swing. It's like a hammock swing for two. You sit in it, it's not a, you don't lay out in a hammock, but it's made out of that material.
Right.
The rope material.
And I bet that must be, is that like your, okay, I need to take a break. I'm going to sit in this thing and just listen to the water.
Yeah. That works really well.
Also, I had noticed something about that people could fish.
Yes, they can. There's bass and bluegill in the pond, in the big pond. We do not fish for our koi or goldfish, but you can fish in the big pond, yes.
I totally forgot about that when I was there. When people fish, are they doing, I just caught a whatever. Can we cook it tonight, or is this a kind of thing of catch
and
release?
Generally, we do catch and release, yes. We found that works best, yes.
Okay. I think that's nicer.
Yeah, that's much kinder to the fish, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Worst case scenario, you could have a fish and coat it in an egg coating and cook it up.
There
right?
you go. Yeah.
Another use for the egg.
Oh,
or you
yeah.
can have the fish and put in a hard-boiled egg in its mouth.
I guess you could.
I'll come up with some weird stuff for you. Don't worry.
Okay.
So now getting into the house, we saw two of the rooms, and you're finishing up on a third one. And the third one, is that's going to be set up, I took a glance at it. So is that going to be set up like that will have a refrigerator, et cetera?
The third one does. It's a little bit larger, and so, yeah, there is a refrigerator in that room already. The two rooms that you guys were able to stay in, the little refrigerator is downstairs in the common area for you. But that room over on the other side, it's just a little bit larger, so it enables us to be able to put a small refrigerator right in that room. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So will that room be, like, in other words, for someone who wants to stay longer kind of thing? Is that more
well,
set
we
up
actually
that
do
way,
have
or?
We have a businessman that is actually with us. He's been with us through the process of decorating and painting and all that. We're kind of worked with each other, and he hasn't minded me coming in some. And he's with us like 20 days out of the month, and then he goes home for 10 days. So I work those 10 days that he's home then. And it's suited him very well. So, yeah, it could work for a long-term guest as well as, you know, just overnight or weekend stay or however that works then. So we're looking forward to having that one open very soon. And, like I said, we'll rent that however it works out.
We hope he doesn't say, you know, I'm sorry, you'll have to evict me.
Oh, no, no. He's a great guy. He's been really, really nice to have with us. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, and in terms of the rooms that we stayed in, by the way, they're gorgeous. I mean, they're very relaxing. That's what they are.
Well, good. Good.
Of course, for me, there was no use of having a tub. But that's just me. Like,
okay.
Getting in, I don't know what's worse, getting in or getting out. I mean, it's like once if I lie down in the tub, I'm going, okay, how do I get myself out of this tub?
So right.
You know, so I have never been one for baths anyway, because that's always happens like, God, how do I get crawl out of here now?
Oh.
But that's okay. They're the old-fashioned, like, foot tubs.
Right.
Yeah. Which is, but thank goodness there's also a shower, a walk-in shower as well.
Oh, yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, all of my rooms have showers, so yes, that works then.
Now, I understand. Okay, because this is not something I see in New York, what is this, the stink bugs?
Well, they're just little bugs.
Are they common to...
They actually were brought over, I think, from Japan, if I remember correctly. Like, they were not here 5-6 years ago. And somehow they ended up being brought into the country from out of the States. And like I said, I think it was Japan. And now they have just really taken hold. And, yes, unfortunately, we see stink bugs here. So.
By the way, I'm rolling here laughing at the moment because I suddenly had this picture of the Japanese airline coming into the United States and someone going, God! Who did that?
Well, I think I'm right. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I thought I had heard that, so I'll just put it out there. Oh, like that.
What is
it? Yeah.
God, man, what did you eat?
Yes, you do not want to eat them. You do not want to eat them.
Did you tell me? Oh, you told me a story about somebody that accidentally.
Right, a coworker of my husband thought he had dropped a kernel of popcorn and picked it up off of his jeans without really looking because he had a bowl of popcorn and just put it in his mouth and it ended up being one of those, and that was not a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
Have you ever? Like got a whiff of what it smelled like. By the way, let's put it out there that the only way this happens is not like if you see one, it's not like a skunk where it's going stink for you. You know.
Yeah, if you smash them, then there is an odor. It's just
okay.
Yeah, it's just
so
enough
it's like,
to be like, oh, yeah, you don't smash them.
Okay.
I generally just pick them up and throw them out the door and then get rid of them that way.
Okay. So have you ever had the pleasure of smelling what it's like?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I have. Like I said, I just kind of am careful to remove them and get them out. I try not to, smash them.
How would you describe the smell, by the way, if somebody asked?
Well,
I guess it's
like
you know
when
you smell a skunk.
I don't know. It's just like, just not a good smell, not fresh and clean.
I'll have to Google it because.
There you go. Let's see what they say.
Something else for me to do.
Aww.
While I'm naming the fake duck. By the way, I have to tell you that I'm I'm watching the decoy at one point, cause, and I kept on saying, God, doesn't that damn thing move? Doesn't that swimmer just going to sit there all day long?
He does. He just sits there all day.
It just, no wonder it's called a decoy.
Right,
I even tried talking to it in Donald Duck, and it didn't answer me.
Oh,
I couldn't understand.
Oh, God.
So how long have you had the B&B, by the way?
It will be 2 years. We moved in the very end of June, so not quite 2 years. We've been open for business since last July. We basically bought the property, and then we spent a year working, getting it to how we wanted it to be, and we opened last July, yes.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to continue. We're going to now talk about where you got them from, because I have Sue on the air right now.
Okay.
Let's all say hello to her.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's a beautiful day here.
Just so people know, this is where you got your alpacas from.
We did, yes.
How did you... By the way, how were the alpacas chosen? And I understand they're specifically like, you know, when someone wants them as a pet versus, you know, you're either going to breed them or, you know, use the wool for all kinds of stuff. How do they get chosen like that?
Is that for Mary or me?
Well, you went over there. You went over there. You said, "I want some alpacas," right?
You're talking to me now,
yeah.
Merle.
Mary, went over there and you said, "I want some alpacas." And did you? What was the process of getting them?
Well, Kevin, who is Sue's husband, was very kind to take us out. How many alpacas do you guys have, Sue?
All right, currently around 120.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of animals there. So Kevin had taken us out in amongst them. We just kind of wandered in among the animals, and then he just explained a little bit to us how their fiber has a different feel, and Sue is definitely, she can tell you a little bit more because I am the novice here, but as it turned out, we just ended up wanting, like, pet quality, they're called, because their fiber's not quite as good, and it's more for a filler type of material. And but that was good for us because we were not looking to breed them to make the yarn or sell the yarn or the fiber to do that with. So we had an education when we went over.
You also you told me this a story, really wonderful story about getting the alpacas to bring to see your mother.
Yeah.
Can you mind sharing that? I think that's so fabulous that the alpacas can be
sure.
A pet dog kind of thing. Yeah, can you share that?
Sure. My mom had gotten very ill, and we knew that she was not going to be with us for a long time. And so this was back a year and a half ago. It was the beginning of December. And we had already purchased the B&B, and we were talking about getting alpacas, but we were not able to fix up the pasture, or we have a little run-in barn that we built that was not built yet. And we had really not had much experience with alpacas, so she had never been around them or anything, and we were all kind of just excited about the prospect of doing that. And I had gone to visit with her one day. It was actually probably only about a week before she passed away, and she just looked at me and she said, "Oh, there's one thing I'm really sad about." And I was like, "Oh, what's that, Mom?" And she said, I'm not going to get to see your alpacas. I've never been up close with an alpaca, and I'm not going to get to see them, and that really just makes me sad. So, of course, that made me feel really bad, and so we had a little bit of a sad time together, but my husband, Fran, was along with the visit, and he came home a little earlier than I did that particular day, and when I got home, he said, you're not going to believe this, but I actually called over to Eastland Alpacas to see if by chance alpacas ever go into nursing homes. And in talking with Kevin, Kevin was like, sure, we've done that before. So Fran set it up that we could take an alpaca into the nursing home where my mom was and let her see it. And so we went over to get them, and we were expecting to have a baby. And Kevin started talking to him, and he called Rosie, and Rosie's name, and she came up through the herd, and she was not a huge animal, but she was not a little animal that you could carry around. And then he called Shadow up, and so Fran and I were a little surprised to have both of them there. And so we were thinking we were going to pick one of them. And he said, oh, no, you want to make sure you take two of them because they'll not be happy if they're separated. You always want to have two of them together for the companionship. And so we were in, we drive a Ford Edge SUV, and they actually went right up in the back of the Edge, and they were on their feet for a couple minutes as we started moving, and once the vehicle got going, they laid down, and they just kind of laid there and made some soft little noises on the ride down to Quarryville, which is about a 45-minute drive. And when we got down, we took them out, and they ended up, they did their business outside, and we walked them in, and as you can imagine, the old folks at the home just loved them, and we just walked right in. The elevator was the only place we had a little bit of coaxing to do, and we were able to get them into the elevator, got off the third floor, and took them to my mom's room, and she was able to pet an alpaca. So it was really just a great thing, and we really appreciated Kevin and Sue letting us borrow them and be able to share with her so she could see an alpaca up close and be able to pet them. Yeah.
So basically when you're walking them, I guess you're putting a leash on them? I mean,
a halter. Yeah, you put a halter on them.
Oh, okay.
And we kept them right beside each other so they could see each other. Uh-huh.
Okay. wow, that is that – how often does this let's go to Sue. How often does this happen where, either it's either requested or you just kind of do this kind of thing?
Well, we do get calls in maybe to do a little program or something, or they like at a nursing home or church events, lots of different things. They want the alpacas there. Sometimes we do a talk about the alpacas, but we do take them out regularly. They are very people-friendly because they are used to going out from little on up.
Oh, so, and of course, there are some that are more friendly than the other. Oh, by the way, Mary, I can let you go if you want.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Well, great to talk with you, Sue. Good
you
to,
too.
To talk with you too, Merle.
Yes. And I'll let you know when the article gets out there.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So now tell us about, I have to, by the way, I wanted to share something. But I mean, I've been to, I'm not sure, I know I went to one alpaca farm, I don't know about whether I've gone to two, but I had noticed your alpaca farm, I mean, you have some of the friendliest alpacas I've seen.
Oh, well, thanks. we do work with them from little on up. We do allow visitors in the pen using shoe covers to it helps protect our, you know, from anything being drug into the pen as well as your shoes. But allowing people in and taking them out to a lot of these events that we do, really, they get used to people. Some farms don't allow people in, and that's fine. If that, you know, everybody runs their alpaca business differently, but we do allow that. Plus, with having the 4-H club, they're worked with a lot as well. So they just are used to people, and I think that's what makes some of them friendly. But it's kind of like people.
Yeah.
Some are friendlier than others. So,
yeah, that's true. Now, what I had noticed is like, I'm going to have to do an alpaca farm tour now. But I had noticed, for instance, that it was kind of like, okay, they'll come up to you if you're feeding them, and they may or may not, let you pet them, kind of thing.
Yes.
Because they're probably more, you know, if you want to say devoted or whatever to the owner, and that's basically
yes.
it, kind of thing.
Yeah, they certainly aren't going to turn away feed, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is true. So now I want to get into what made you guys decide to own an alpaca farm?
Well, actually, we've kind of created our farm off my parents' farm, and we saw the alpacas for the first in 1996 at the State Farm Show in Harrisburg. A month after that, we were going to be starting to build our barn, and we just asked a few questions about them, and one was how much they are, and when I heard the price, I did tell my husband, there is no way we are spending that much money on an animal. But at that time, with having the expense of the barn, you know, it wouldn't have been feasible anyhow. So at that time, we were getting camp horses. This gentleman owns, like, a lot of horses, like 200 maybe or so. And then we would get them during the year when they are not at camp. So we were keeping them at my parents'. So once we had our barn, we brought them up. We bought some sheep from the 4-H members at the area fair. We were going to thought maybe we'd breed some sheep. We also had a few goats and, you know, kind of almost like the old McDonald farm. And after a while, you know, we kind of got tired of feeding these. It wasn't really making us any money. And Kevin noticed in the Lancaster Farming paper that there were two pet quality animals down in Maryland. So he said he'd really like to see if, you know, maybe purchase some just pet quality before we invested in the breeding stock and see if we like them first. So we didn't go right away after we called. We went maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. They still had them, and we just fell in love with them. One was black and one was white, and they were just the cutest things. So we brought them home and found out that's what we want to do. So we did get rid of, we sold the sheep and got rid of the goats, and when the horses went back to camp that May, by then we had our, that was in 2013, by then we had our females coming in. We actually went to California. That's where we actually purchased our females. There weren't many farms around here, and we just weren't seeing what we liked or whatever, so we just got in contact with him and ended up purchasing out there. And our youngest daughter was a senior then, so it kind of came at a nice time. We were done going to sporting events and musicals and band events, things like that. So it was kind of our turn at that point. So we purchased 13 females to start. So, yep.
And now it's grown, but they're not.
It has.
But I understand all the alpacas that are there are not necessarily yours, that the people.
Yes, we do board some. We have a few that we board. A few are our sons. And then there are 9 that are sold that will be leaving, probably the end of June or sometime in July. They purchased them last fall. 3 of the females were bred, so they were going to be having babies in October. So they have 3 little babies that are going to, which the babies are called Cria, C-R-I-A. It stands for creation.
Oh.
So they'll get to enjoy them when they get them.
So, yeah, we saw one preggy mommy.
Yeah. Yeah, we have 2 due in the middle of June, and then quite a few due again in October.
You know,
November.
Are you going to take a photo of the baby?
We should.
Yeah, people probably, you know, like when people have seen, like, you know, when puppies are born, what they look like, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd be curious to see how big or, you know, kind of look like, what they look like when they're born.
They are all legs and neck. You really wonder how that fit in that mom's belly, but it's just it's just amazing. When they are born, first you see a little nose, and then the head will come out, and then two little feet, and it's just really neat. So
that's cool.
They do, they weigh between 15 and 20 pounds, and gestation is 11 to 11 and a half months. So you do wait quite a while for that baby.
Do you name them all?
Yes, they are all named. They are registered, so we do name them. Sometimes we just kind of pick a name. Sometimes it's we kind of play off mom or dad's names or maybe something that happened that day or something. So,
do you ever have people say, to name the next one after me? Or
like Merle?
Yeah.
Oh, we have, yeah. And when I hear of something that's like, oh, that would make a great alpaca name, I do write it down. I have a little file here in the computer that
write
I put
my
all
name
names down. I will put that down. I will. So
we can't change Katarina's. No,
that's
Did you see the photos?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I mean, is that?
Yes, she is really sweet. Yes.
That is really hysterical.
And most of her siblings, I think the mom, I don't know, just all her Korea, they just all were very friendly, it seemed. So, and then you have some lines, they might be more spitters, they might be, you know, just a little more shy. It's kind of just like humans.
Yeah. I have never.
But Katarina, she definitely liked you.
I could, in my mind, I can, like, see her eyeballs. I could still.
Yeah.
She just kept on coming, it's hard to see the picture as I'm talking, but
it really
looks like that we first gazed into each other's eyes and we're just about to kiss each other. It's just so funny.
Well, and some will come up and give you little kisses. Mary was telling you about the two they took, and Shadow, she was a bottle-fed baby, and she had some issues at birth and ended up being bottle-fed, but she will come up now and even, like, just nibble on my chin, almost like she's giving me a kiss.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. So,
That's so adorable. And then you have one, I guess, oh, I don't know what its name we call it, like Joe Cool. How does it sound like?
Cordon Bleu, yes.
Is that who it is?
He wears his sunglasses at events sometimes. And when we're doing school tours, Kevin will kind of sneak in ahead and put them on, and he'll tell them, well, there might be one wearing sunglasses. And, you know, then they just all giggle, and I don't know, the kids just love coming in and feeding them and petting them and so forth.
I guess Cordon Bleu, like, is used to having sunglasses put on.
Oh, he is. Yeah, and really, they're to the front of him. His eyes are more to the side, so I don't think it really bothers him. And he has enough fluff on his head that he can hold them on there better than some could. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, is there a particular reason why you picked that one? Was it because of fluff on his head, or?
Well, he just tolerates it so well. We had another one maybe 2 years ago. We were taking her out, and now she hopefully is pregnant too, but we have to do some ultrasounds soon. But Bluebell, we could put sunglasses on her. We were at egg hunts already where we put little headbands with bunny ears on and so forth. She was just really tolerant of anything we would do. So
do you have like a what you would call a certain group that are more for show, like, you know, to take out and things like that, and you know, then you go, oh, these are the ones that, you know, that are not as, I don't say friendly, but, you know, that you don't use for that function.
Yeah. Well, when we do take them out and are allowing children to come in and pet them, we definitely want to have some that are tame, that are not going to, you know, kick at them or anything like that, because every now and then you'll have some that will throw a kick a little quicker, and we certainly don't want anyone getting hurt. So we always have a few that, you know, are used for that. Now, if they're, we do some area fairs, they are part of the petting zoo, but we don't allow the kids in with them. It'd be a little much for them, as many children that are there. So then we'll take others out just to get them used to going out and used to leading and things, because it does take a little work to get them halter trained sometimes after they're out a couple times, or you just walk them with another one that walks well, and then they just kind of follow right after and don't even realize they're getting halter trained.
And now, oh yeah, by the way, the kittens.
Oh, yeah.
They're so cute.
Oh, and they just walk through the pens, and the alpacas watch them, and they'll lay in their hay racks. And we actually had a litter of kittens born in one of the hay racks one time. She was at the one end having kittens, and the alpacas were eating hay out of the other end. So they're very used to the cats.
Uh-huh. That's so adorable.
Yeah,
when I came in, the first place I saw was an inside area.
Oh, okay.
That's the hay racks?
Yes, and that, it almost looks like a wood crib. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where the hay is.
And it's just the area where they go to get fed?
Yes, we'll feed them in there. That's where we drop their feed in the troughs in there, and then we fill the hay racks. But now they're gradually getting out to graze more, now that it's nice and green and the pastures are up full of grass again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're not like, in other words, like, oh, these are the ones, whatever. Well, you have people go into those into that area, into.
Yeah, usually if when we have visitors now, like I said, shortly they'll be out. Like they can come in and out of the pasture and out of the barn anytime they want. But when visitors come, they, especially the group we feed, they know that, so they'll be in. And if I need to get them in at all for any reason, I just clap my hands and yell for them to come in, and they all come running. So, but they're, over the winter, we do keep them penned in the barnyard a little more just to save the pasture over winter, and then they just eat more hay.
Yeah. Now, the people that board them when they're bored, that's B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-D.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now, are they doing that because, oh, I got to go away to my aunt's for the weekend?
They stay here all the time, right. They just board them. If they're breeding stock, they have them for the investment. We do have one boarded here. He's just a pet. They don't have the place to keep them. I know they board some horses at another horse facility as well. So, but they come now and then, and they'll take him for a walk and so forth. And then she works with the fiber as well. So she'll get her fiber and, you know, probably spin it herself and so forth. So, and that's like Mary has the pet quality animals. They are lower, well, I shouldn't say lower quality, but the males that we castrate, they aren't good enough for breeding stock. You want a good boned animal with a good dense fine fleece. So most of the males are going to be castrated. That just calms them down and makes great pets, and you still can use their fleece for what, if it's good fine fleece, you can spin it into yarn or do whatever. But there are three grades of fleece. The blanket that's over their main body, that's your best fleece. The seconds is more like your neck. It's okay too, it's just shorter. And then the thirds comes from the legs. That's more of a waist type fleece. You don't want to use that for clothing. So we send a lot of our waste to Ingrid's Rugs in Texas, and they make woven rugs for us, so that's strictly out of our animal. And then we also send it to a co-op up in Massachusetts that makes boot inserts and some totes and baskets and things out of the waste. So it's a great way you know, to process every part of the alpaca fleece. Years ago when we first started, they didn't have those things, so, you know, we didn't, sometimes, a lot of times we just throw it away, the waste there, the thirds. So, but most of ours, the bulk of it gets processed into yarn that I sell here at our store.
So there are, and you have, in the store you have some items that have come from your own alpacas, but most of them don't. Correct?
Most of it is just bought in, yeah. We have a construction business, too, and I do all the bookwork for that, plus the alpaca bookwork, all that entails there, and help with the tours and things like that. So I don't have the time to knit and spin. And actually, when we first bought the animals, Kevin and I were both brought up on farms, so we fell in love with the animal and wanted to raise and breed and sell the animals. So the fiber end never even crossed my mind at first. So, and maybe someday I will get that chance a little more to work with the fleece. So we do, about the most I get done is a fleece project for our 4-H club. We do have a 4-H club with close to 30 members every year. And we do some kind of fleece project every year with them, which they really enjoy doing as well.
How warm would you say, like if you had something made from alpaca, would you say alpaca wool? Would you call it wool?
Yeah, we call it fleece or fiber.
Okay.
And the alpaca fiber, it's hollow inside, so there's a real good thermability there. It's very lightweight, so it keeps you really warm without the bulkiness of it. I know I had a gentleman looking for a good heavy sweater. Well, I didn't have a good, like a big heavy sweater. He didn't realize it doesn't have to be a big, bulky, heavy sweater. So he ended up buying a jacket and fell in love with that. So he has since bought numerous things from the store, realizing how warm it really is. So
now, have you, like, worn, getting to wear a jacket, and how cold would it be outside and you're not freezing? Like,
well,
how?
Yeah, we do some winter events too in December, and, you know, I just put all my alpaca things on and I'm usually good and toasty. I have my socks and my boot inserts, because it's usually really cold for that. And then I might wear a sweater with my jacket on and my fingerless gloves so I can still write up receipts. But it is amazing if I have gloves on, take them off for something, you know, how much better my hands feel once I put them back on. So, but it just does definitely keep you warm. And like the socks, they wick, so your feet won't sweat in them either. The hunters just love the heavy extreme socks that we sell here. So.
Now the inserts, do they come, they're all, are they cut size? I mean,
yes, there's three different sizes, and you can trim them to fit in your shoe or your boot as well.
And
have
people commented that, like, oh, it's like such and such degrees out and my feet are really warm? I mean, is it would be more for the warmth?
Yeah, the warmth and your comfort, even. Even after, because they will flatten out a little bit, but they still feel, you know, there's still the amount of alpaca there to keep you warm, but they still, I don't know what it is about it, but it just still makes your feet feel very comfy. So, but I know I have people coming back for more and more. They just love them. Once they get hooked on the socks, too, especially at Christmas, they'll come back for more Christmas presents because people, they just say, get me some more alpaca socks.
Well, by the way, I wanted to share that I had gotten the last time I was in alpaca farm, I bought a pair of the heavy socks.
Okay.
And I don't like shoes. I wear sandals all year round.
No, I have a few other customers like that actually. Yeah.
And I put on the socks. And people would say, look at me, and they, my God, aren't your feet cold? And I'll say, no, because there is no way I can get this into a shoe.
Yeah, right.
And you can't get really, really good, I mean, unless you take purposely have a larger shoe size, you can't get a really good pair of socks into it. And
yeah,
I mean,
they're heavy.
You know, that's not
yeah.
alpaca.
Right.
So when
yeah,
people, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, I carry different weights of socks, too, so it really works well depending on the type of shoe you're using or what, you know, if it's you just want to be warmer inside or outside or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's I think that's fabulous. So what did you have any upcoming, like, plans or events and stuff that's coming up?
Well, this weekend we will be out Saturday and Sunday at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. They have the PA Flavor Fest. It's a wine tasting, you know, a lot of wineries, and they go around tasting, and then there's a lot of vendors there. And we're there with the alpacas. We'll probably take 3 or 4 alpacas, and then I set up a booth to sell products as well. That's about it. And then in June we have at Oregon Dairy, there's Family Farm Days. It's 3 days from 10 to 7, I believe the hours are. They get loads of people. It's just a big, big, big event. You ride a wagon through their dairy barn. They explain a lot about the dairy, and then they drop everybody gets off the wagon there to come. The 4-H does most of the tent where we're in. There's a lot of different little animals for the kids to see, straw tunnels, and some other little activities for them. And then there's some businesses that have a little a tent too with some of their displays set up. So that's really a big thing. And then we have a lot of other little events until the fall. Our open house is the first 2 weekends of November. So that's always our big, big event, so which is on our website.
Oh, okay. Which is?
www.eastlandalpacas.com.
Okay. Well, did we miss anything?
I don't know.
To share? As opposed to sheer.
Pardon?
I said, did we miss anything to share versus sheer?
Versus sheer, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's a good one. So,
another one,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
anybody's always welcome to come visit us at any time. It's always good to call first.
Oh yeah, there's no charge. There's only
We do tours by donation.
Okay.
You know, like our open house, that's a free event. So,
okay.
We have a lot going on there. So,
well, you want to donate because to feed them.
But, yeah, and it's just a little something, for, you know, to cover some expenses and our time a little bit, too. So we are one of Lancaster County's attractions. So, yep.
Yeah.
So whatever anybody feels, every
tour
is a little different. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so.
when I write about it, I'm going to come up with an amount that I think is worth it.
Oh, okay.
The least you should pay. When somebody's coming for a tour, how much time would you say to allow?
Oh, I'd say average 45 minutes. Some are less, some are more. It just depends. I think how much the people want to be in with them. Depends if they have children. Sometimes they're kind of scared. So then we really don't do as much with, you know, because we don't want to scare any, you know, get them scared with the alpacas. Especially when you go in the pen where we feed, they are all going to come around you, and we don't want them scared. So sometimes it's just real quick, or sometimes it's a little longer.
Okay. I want people to get it's not like you're going to a turkey farm and the turkeys are, you know, when you go into the thing and they're coming around, you're going, come on.
No, we just have quiet hums.
No. And also, that was Esther.
Oh, was
my
that
rubber
Esther?
Chicken.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. She wanted to
meet her.
Yeah, she just wanted to say hello, that's all.
Yes, well, that was nice.
Okay.
I'm not going to cackle back.
No, that's okay. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, wait. Eunice has to repeat exactly what her sister says. You know?
Okay.
Okay, I can't, you know, I have no control over that. You know, I can't close the door when I'm in. in the room. So, but
anyway,
well, I appreciate your calling in. I think this is great. I hope we can get people to. I'm now going to do an alpaca road trip, I think.
Okay, you'll have to do that.
I'm curious to see, you know, how when you're going to places and they have tours and how, you know, in terms of the interaction.
Right. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say
we stop sometimes too at alpaca farms when we're in the area just to meet other alpaca farmers and so forth. So it's interesting meeting everybody.
So, when you go home, do your alpacas come over to you and say, "What farm have you been to?"
Well, no, but we do. That's
different.
One of the first things we have to do when we do come home. We do have to go down and see them, so get in our hugs for the day. So,
and they don't know that you've been to another place. They haven't gotten that.
I don't think they know that.
Okay.
So
I won't tell.
Okay. Good.
Okay. It was. By the way, did you want to mention about the construction company? Did you want to throw that out there for a little extra PR?
Oh, it's okay. Well, we're in business over 30 years, so I guess we must be doing something right. But Kevin, he loves that, and he loves the alpacas, so he's not ready to give either up at this time yet. So, yeah.
And by the way, has anybody in terms of the construction say, oh, I want to build a farm or I want to build a, you know, something related to a farm? Or is this basically
You mean as far as the alpacas or?
Well, no,
or
I mean, because he owns a construction company.
Okay. Well, we've done little things, but.
Huh?
We even had the Amish build our barn. I mean, they did the bulk of it because of the framing and so forth. But we've done other little things around barns. So, and we do install the water bowls like we have here and for other people as well, whether they have alpacas or horses or whatever. So,
well, by the way, now I'm curious. So, like, when the Amish come to build the barn, do they do it the way, like, that's depicted, like, on... we see on TV or whatever, a bunch of them come over and build a barn and hook it up and the whole bit?
Oh, not quite.
Okay.
Actually, they used a crane. So they build the frame, like the bents it's called, the big timbers, and then they lift them up with a crane. Because there's, I forget how many were here building. It's not like all the neighbors come, you know, when they do have barn raisings and so forth, helping each other out. So I think their businesses like this are run a little differently.
Okay. Curious about with the Amish not wanting to be a part of the, you know, they don't want to talk to or whatever with the other people. Is that's not anymore or just in that area?
Oh,
or?
They do. There's a lot of Amish that have a lot of businesses around here and so forth. So they're, you know, they're very nice people. My husband's family have a good connection with a family through when she was in the hospital having a baby. So he's always, that's why we have a windmill here at the farm. He's always been fascinated with that when they'd go visit them. So,
So in other words, would you say that basically in Lancaster County, you're not going to be shunned because you're not an Amish?
Right. Yeah. They'll take your business just like anybody else's. So.
Well, I don't mean just business. In other words, if you wanted some products, can you go to an Amish farm and say, I want some cheese curd?
There's a lot of farms that will do things like that. There's some Amish that have, I mean, they're members of the visitor center. They take tours or have shops there where they maybe make cheeses and have eggs and things like that or do quilts or whatever. So, but... They have a lot of different businesses that they have around here.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, okay.
Okay.
Again, thank you so much.
Okay, you bet.
Thanks a whole bunch, and this is it's really cool. And
okay.
Now I'll just, I think I might use the alpaca picture for my, what do you call it, on the page, what that's called on the web, not the, my website, but you know what I'm talking
computer?
About?
On your computer?
Yeah, the computer background
your,
type thing.
Screensaver.
Screensaver, yeah. I think. That's the word.
But
I'm
SM
not
units might get jealous.
At all.
I'm not either. That's why I have a son-in-law.
Now I got to go find a thing that says screensaver and then, like, you know, go, okay, download, and that's, you know,
right.
That's the one I'm going to use.
Yeah.
All right. Again, thank
okay.
you so much.
Okay. All right.
Have,
well,
have a wonderful
day.
And
oh,
say
too.
Hello to Katarina for me.
I will do that. I will do that. Okay.
Okay,
alrighty.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Merle.
Yes. Yeah, because now I guess I'm going to definitely have to do an alpaca tour. I think that would be really cool. So I'm going to end the show and find that out, the picture, and load it up there. And I just have to find... I just wanted also, I don't know what's going on with, it's really weird. I don't know what's going on with the movie Notting Hill. I mean, it's been on, I think in the last 2 weeks, I guess, I've seen it like at least 10 times on either HBO or Showtime. So I'm not sure whether they're promoting the fact that Julia Roberts has a special on HBO coming up at the end of this month. I believe it's the 27th. That has to do with AIDS. It's a movie that, you know. So I'm not sure with that. Or it's that the guy who, the character Bernie on Notting Hill, is the guy who has the leading role in Downton Abbey. So I'm not sure. But then I also, that's very important. I also want to share a couple of other things. One of them is that Idina Menzel, not Adele Kazim, Idina Menzel is going to be performing live, thank God, at Radio City Music Hall on June 6th, one night only. And you can actually, if you get the information on her website, www.idinamenzel.com. And the tickets have gone on sale already. So I don't know. What the story is at this point, but that should be absolutely fabulous to see. And the other thing that I had gotten information to, Cousin Brucey, if anybody who will ever remember that, Bruce Morrow, Cousin Brucey, is actually back for a Palisades Park reunion number 2. Wait it, hear this. He's gonna be at Palisades Amusement. Well, it's actually not gonna be there. But he's hosting this at the State Fair in Meadowlands on June 27th at 7 p.m. And performance will be broadcast live on Sirius XM's 60s on 6th channel, it says. From artists who entertained audiences at Palisades Amusement Park in the 1960s, including international superstar Neil Sedaka, the King of Twist, Chubby Checker, Larry Chance and the Earls, the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, the Ripcords, and the Del Satins, featuring Stan Zizka. That's what it says here. Concert goers can come to the fair early in the day from 2 p.m. and enjoy 50s Forever Car Show, featuring vintage autos and trucks from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, as well as over 70 rides, entertainment, and 50-plus vendors. Cousin Brucey, yes, Bruce Morrow. And let's see, the event, let's see what it says. The Cousin Brucey event and the 50s Forever Car Show are both free with entry ticket to the fair, which is $10 for those 13 and older, $8 for children 12 and younger. Children under 34 inches are admitted free. That's interesting that they have inches. Okay. Let's see what it says here. Okay. So how can you get the tickets? I guess go to, go to www.njfair.com for more information. And also you can, I guess, see some information on SiriusXM.com. Okay, everybody, so have a nice day, evening, or whenever you're listening to this. I'm going to take a break and feed my face as usual. What else? Ta-ta, everybody. Yeah.